God, have your way. We pray your kingdom come, your will be done, O God. Ibaramasa, your kingdom come, your will be done. I thank you, Father, the word of God has free course tonight. We'll give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you may be seated. I want to minister tonight on a symphony of prayer. A symphony of prayer. I thought I had a different message, and then when I heard Pastor minister on Sunday morning about grace always being on the front porch, and then Brother David King Sunday night on the fire of God, I wanted to go back and just, God's been dealing with me about what the Holy Spirit has been doing in our land. And so I want to share how prayer has affected our nation in three different great spiritual awakenings. I want to just stir our faith a little bit, kind of like a little bit of American church history. What God has been doing in the church in America since the founding of this great nation. Actually, before the founding of the nation. And just, it's stirred my faith up because I look in the natural and I look at the news reports and I check Twitter and I look at it and just go, you know, even if you made laws, and we need the laws that we need, righteous laws. But we make those laws, but people's hearts, you hear these people, you hear the anger, the hate, the bitterness, what they want to do to little children, to babies, and you hear that, and you think, well, we do need a law. We don't need to do that, and it needs to be a law, but people's hearts are still in that terrible dark place. What can we do about that? And you know what? It's in our face more, so we think it's worse now than it used to be. But the heart of man is deceitfully wicked. It was as wicked 200 or 300 or 400 or 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago, just as much as it is today. And God turned it around before, and God can turn it around again. God did it before, and God can do it again. A lot of what I want to share about, I want to share some about the Great Awakenings in America, and I have been reading some books by Eddie Hyatt. Eddie and Sue Hyatt are good friends of Pastor Bob and Joy Nichols. They're out of Grapevine, and he has some really good books, 2,000 Years of Charismatic Ministry, Revival Fire, The Great Prayer Awakening. That's his new book on prayer. I mean, new book on revival, The Great Prayer Awakening. He told me the other night, he can't even keep it in stock. And so, we should have it in the bookstore soon. And if not, I believe they sell their books on Amazon. And then at his website, I think you can get them, Eddie Hyatt. Eddie, Eddie, Hyatt, Hyatt.com. But he has some excellent books on our Christian roots and on revival and on our nation. So, anyway, I want to minister on a symphony of prayer. America must have another great awakening, ladies and gentlemen. A great awakening, a spiritual awakening, if this nation is to survive. Our nation will not be able to stand if it is governed by morally corrupt people. Our nation must be, our nation must have morally righteous people in order to stand. 2 Samuel 23:3 says, "He that ruleth over men must be just." He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Amen. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Let me give you another scripture, 2 Chronicles 19, 2 Chronicles 19, verses 5 through 7. 2 Chronicles 19, 5 through 7, and he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities, of Judah. Just happened to see that there. Of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord. The judges judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Amen. You're not going to bribe anybody like that. Now, Jesus said much about everything, but he said much on the subject of prayer. And one of the things that Jesus taught was that in order to pray effectively, in order for us to see great things, and you can see it in the New Testament book of Acts church as well, in order to pray effectively, we must pray in unity. Amen. We must pray in unity. We must pray in unity with each other, with other believers. Matthew 18, 19. We must pray in unity. Jesus said in Matthew 18, 19, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done. That word agree in the Greek, that word agree is symphonio, S-U-M-P-H-O-N-E-O, from which we get our word symphony. It basically means to be in harmony, to be in unity, to agree together. That's why I want to minister on a symphony of prayer. The point is there is unlimited potential in unified corporate prayer. In a symphony of prayer. Let me give you some examples now of the effects of unified prayer, of corporate prayer, if you would, from our nation's great spiritual awakenings. And we go through three of them. The first and second great awakenings and then the great prayer revival were powerful awakenings that changed and shaped the destiny of our nation. The first great awakening, little spiritual history class here, the first great awakening was from about 1726 to 1750. The first great awakening, 1726 to 1750, and it transformed the people that were here. It transformed colonial America, and it prepared the way for the formation of this nation. Amen. The great awakening, the first great awakening, literally prepared these people that were scattered out along the East Coast to come together and to form a nation. It changed the destiny of America. Jonathan Edwards was the theologian and literally the pastor of that first great awakening, and we have his pulpit in our sanctuary. Jonathan Edwards was the theologian and the pastor of the First Great Awakening, and he had a church named the Congregational Church in Northampton, Massachusetts. And that's one of the places where the revival came with great power. The pulpit we have in our sanctuary was located in a church in East Hampton, Massachusetts, which is right down the road. Even though it says East Hampton, it's actually south of Northampton, go figure. But I mean, that's on a map, that's where it is. East Hampton, Massachusetts, right down the road from Edwards Church in Northampton. And that pulpit was at a church that was one of the churches, they had a circuit, and they would go to different churches at different times of the year. And he would go to the one in East Hampton where that pulpit was. And he often ministered in that church at East Hampton. We've been told by reliable, good sources behind that pulpit. And that's a lot of spiritual and American heritage right there in history. And just as today, prior to the first great awakening in our nation, this nation, or it wasn't a nation then, but the people, the colonies, the people, it was in total moral and spiritual decline. And Jonathan Edwards would preach on his circuit about the spiritual deadness throughout the land. Again, probably behind that pulpit. So what did he do? He set himself to seek God. Jonathan Edwards set himself to seek God for a revival of what the books say, religion, but what you would call today to seek Jesus, to seek for Christianity, to seek Jesus. Jonathan Edwards and others set themselves to seek God through prayer, and revival broke out in Northampton, where he was the pastor of that church during the spring and summer of 1735. Edwards said the town suddenly seemed to be full of the presence of God. Amen. Revival and the presence of God. I don't know how many of y'all were here in 1993, the first time Pastor Rodney Harrod Brown were here. How many? Just raise your hand. Okay, that's a good portion. You could come into those services after the revival got, after it, you could come in those services and it was so thick, it was like there was a cloud or a mist. Amen. And everything had a tint to it. To me, everything looked, it wasn't surreal, but it was just like it was a thick cloud. Amen. Certain people would walk in the room and it would like the presence of God came in. You didn't have to have preaching. I mean, the presence of God was there. The presence of God. And that's what Jonathan Edwards says happened in the first great awakening. He said the town suddenly, and that's what happened here at Calvary in 93, suddenly seemed to be full of the presence of God. On the first great awakening, it says souls came, and I got a lot of these from Dr. Hyatt in some of his books. I've kind of combined some of his books, but souls came by flocks to Jesus Christ until there was scarcely a single person in the town, old or young, left unconcerned about the great things of the eternal world, about spiritual matters. In other words, everybody became spiritually minded. Everybody in town became spiritually minded. It was during that time that Jonathan Edwards preached his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Probably, again, we've been told behind that pulpit what was one of the times he preached that sermon. The Holy Spirit, this is one of the quotes, the Holy Spirit made hell so real to the congregation that many gripped the backs of the benches in front of them, while others leaped from the pews, wrapping their arms around the pillars of the church, crying out to God for mercy and drowning out Edwards' voice. Ola Winslow, an Edwards biographer, said that he made hell real enough to be found on an atlas. But it wasn't his preaching style that made the impact, because Edwards wrote out his sermons and then read them like this in a monotone. Just, you know. What made the impact? He had no physical gestures, from what they say. Didn't move, didn't. But the power of Jonathan Edwards' ministry came from his committed and disciplined relationship with God. It was said that he often spent 10 plus hours a day in study and prayer. And that before he read his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, he had spent 18 hours praying earnestly, God, give me New England or let me die. You can say, well, I can't do that. I don't have that much time. Well, I've got good news. Fret not. What God is big enough to make up the difference. The real question is, what are we doing with the time that we do have? God is able to make up the difference. So they prayed, and God sent a great awakening. Number two, the second great awakening. It happened from 1800 to 1840, and it came just before, just after the Revolutionary War, when the nation again was spiritually and morally drained, and at a time they were just experiencing a lot of negative influences. It goes into the French Revolution and all that. But, I mean, there was just a lot of negative. And it was, spiritually, it was drained. Revival started, now get this, revival started on the East Coast in colleges such as Yale, Dartmouth, Williams, and all those places is where deism was, and infidelity, it says, had become rampant. I mean, you know, we think that's new to the modern age. Oh, no. It was like that in the 1700s. It was like that long before that. Deism was everywhere. That's the belief that there was a God that created the earth, but he was indifferent to it. But that's a lie, because the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the infidelity, people weren't faithful to church. People didn't trust each other. There was unfaithfulness, disloyalty, marital disloyalty, adultery, all that rampant, just like today. So revival broke out at Yale. My. A third of the student body came to Jesus after the college president, Timothy Dwight, who happened to be Jonathan Edwards' son-in-law, preached a series of chapel messages on the Bible as the Word of God. And revival erupted on college campuses all up and down in that area. And revival spread up and down the East Coast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, you just, hallelujah. Then revival broke out. It went west. And it broke out, Eddie Hyatt says, across the Allegheny Mountains over on the what they call back then the Western Frontier. It was in Kentucky. And God used a pastor, a guy, and we think multi-churches are new. A guy had three churches in Kentucky in 1800. So, I mean, you know. So, that's right. And God used a pastor of three congregations in Kentucky. His name was James McGreedy, to spark revival fires. In 1796, his congregation signed a covenant to pray every Saturday and Sunday morning, and then to devote the third Saturday each month to prayer and fasting, with spiritual awakening being their prayer goal. Corporate prayer with their prayer goal being spiritual awakening. 4 years later, they prayed for 4 years and didn't see the fruit of their prayers. 4 years later, revival broke out in McGreedy's three congregations. People were weeping, falling on the floor, meetings lasting throughout the night. These meetings attracted much attention, people traveling 100 miles by horse and buggy. And I mean, you know, that's the way they travel. Hallelujah. One man that attended this meeting was a man named Barton Stone, a Presbyterian pastor. He visited the revival meetings at McGreedy's Red River Church and was convinced that what he observed was a genuine work of God. I thought about 1993, how people would come to see if it was a genuine work of God, a genuine move of God. When I read that, I thought, man, same thing. People were coming to see if it was actually a true move of God. And this pastor, Barton Stone, returned home to Cane Ridge, which became instrumental in organizing what was called the Cane Ridge Camp Meeting and Revival in August 1801. Estimates of those attending the Cane Ridge Revival range from 10,000 to 25,000. And one attendee said he counted 1,143 wagons and buggies parked in the area. Amen. And that revival became famous not only for the amount of people that attended, but he said because of the intensity and the number of the manifestations that occurred, with people running, jumping, shouting, weeping, and laughing. There was joy. Hallelujah. And it was an instrumental revival because people came from hundreds of miles, and then they would go back and take that. One other gentleman named Peter Cartwright, he was a circuit-riding Methodist preacher greatly used of God in the Second Great Awakening. And he said, the word went on and spread in almost every direction, gathering additional force till everyone in our country seemed to be coming to God. Everyone in our country seemed to be coming to God. And I don't know if Jay's in here or not, but we've been to Uganda before. We have been told that because a lot of the effects of our television station there, Lighthouse Television, there is positive peer pressure in that nation to be born again. Isn't that amazing? Positive peer pressure to be born again. You drive down the streets as you approach Kampala, and there's people on the street corners preaching. I mean, it's just like, it's Holy Ghost. It's Holy Ghost. Amazing church growth. Amazing church growth. Man, we've got a lot of seed in the ground, ladies and gentlemen. Amazing church growth. So in the Second Great Awakening, the Spirit of God prevailed over the deism and infidelity, and the religious character of the United States was changed forever. Now, you may say, well, what does that have to do with a symphony of prayer? Well, Dr. Hyatt writes that when a spirit of prayer comes upon a person, a congregation, or a nation, they desire to pray more than anything else. Their hearts are overwhelmed with a yearning towards God, and nothing but prayer will suffice and satisfy. And that is what happened in the great prayer revival of 1857 and 1858. This is the third and final one. We're going to pray here in just a little bit. As if drawn by an invisible force, multitudes throughout the nation crowded into churches, fire stations, lodges, and halls to pour out their hearts to God in prayer. They did not want preaching. They did not want singing. They did not want to be entertained. They just wanted to pray. Whoa. My. Charles Finney said, the general impression seemed to be we've had instruction until we've had a lot of instruction. Now it's time for us to pray. It's time to break up the fallow ground. It's time to see God be God and do what no other power can do. Amen. This prayer revival began with a simple layman named Jeremiah Lamphere. And he had a deep concern for the lost and spiritually indifferent, people that could just care less one way or the other. And he had a burden. And out of this concern, he rented a third-story room, just a little room, in the old Dutch church on Fulton Street, in, of all places, in downtown Manhattan, and invited local businessmen to come and spend their noon hour in prayer. Simple, absent of any hype, the meeting grew until every day it was standing room only. Men, women, and the unconverted were drawn as if by a magnet to this prayer meeting. Marvelous answers to prayer multiplied. Remarkable conversions occurred. Many pastors started attending and then taking it back to their own churches for prayer meeting. They were amazed to see multitudes fill their sanctuaries to pray both day and night. A spirit of prayer seemed to be unleashed in our nation. Listen to this. Prayer meetings began springing up in Philadelphia, Boston, Washington, D.C., Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Chicago, and in a multitude of smaller cities and rural areas. Hallelujah. Sinners seemed helpless in God's presence. There's some really cool stories, too, about them, and I just can't get into all of them. But there was one, I think his new book. One writer described a zone of heavy influence that pervaded the eastern seaboard, extending out into the Atlantic Ocean and impacting the passengers and crews of approaching ships. He wrote, revival began aboard one ship, but before it reached the coast and the dock. People on board began to sense the presence of God and sense their own sinfulness. The Holy Spirit convicted them, and they began to pray. And as the ship neared the harbor, the captain signaled, send a minister. Hallelujah. Another small commercial ship arrived in port with the captain, and every member of the crew converted in the last 150 miles. Ship after ship arrived with the same story. Passengers and crew were suddenly convicted of sin and turned to Christ before they reached the American coast. Charles Finney told of a prayer meeting in Boston. Listen to this one. In Boston, which a man stood and declared that he had just traveled almost 2,000 miles from Omaha, Nebraska, and had found a continuous prayer meeting all the way there. D.L. Moody was a part of it. Presidents Pierce and Buchanan started attending the prayer meetings. There was another church in Charleston, South Carolina, black pastor of Anson Street Presbyterian Church, John Giardo, established a prayer meeting in 1858 and exhorted his people to wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The prayer service grew until the auditorium was overflowing with more than 2,000 people. This is 1858. As on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit suddenly fell upon those at the Anson Street Church. They began to sob, then deeper emotion, then weeping bitterly and rejoicing loudly. It was midnight before they could dismiss the congregation, and the meeting went on night and day for weeks. Large numbers of people were converted and joined the churches in the city. Finney described 1857-1858 as a time when a divine influence seemed to pervade the whole land. Charles Finney estimated, listen to this, Charles Finney estimated that at the height, this is 1858 now, at the height of the revival, 50,000 people per week were being born again. Hallelujah. Conservative estimates place the total number of conversions at around 1 million. Some have suggested that as many as 2 million have been converted or born again during that time. People were praying. Dr. Eddie Hyatt calls that America's third great awakening. So how did it all happen? It all happened because of a symphony of prayer.
Amen.
After the first great awakening, Jonathan Edwards recognized the potential of corporate unity in prayer. So he urged the churches of New England to see prayer as a kind of concert. He proposed that the church pray in concerted agreement for two things: for revival and the spread of God's kingdom for souls. For revival and for souls. The great awakenings were birthed in this kind of prayer.
Amen.
People gathering together praying for revival,
yes,
and for souls.
Yes.
And with those great awakenings, it came spiritual renewal, and it affected everything. Social, political changes. And we need that today. After the first great awakening in America, Jonathan Edwards challenged the church in New England to a concerted symphony of prayer. Three churches in Ipswich, Massachusetts, I-P-S-W-I-C-H, Ipswich, Massachusetts, coveted to follow the pattern Jonathan Edwards suggested. In each congregation, groups of people would meet weekly to agree in prayer. Monthly, each congregation, the separate ones, would gather those praying groups and conduct all church prayer meetings of agreement. Then quarterly, all three churches would come together for the same kind of praying. This pattern was followed faithfully, get this, without interruption, for 100 years. Two remarkable things happened, I guess so. First, all three churches reported a harvest of souls.
Amen.
Secondly, those three churches were spared from the apostasy that was going on around them. Everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes, Unitarians. They stayed close to the Word of God. The buzzwords during that time, the apostasy that was going on, the buzzwords of that time: freedom, reason, tolerance. 1800s. Same thing. But these three churches in Ipswich, Massachusetts, did not succumb. They remain firmly true to the faith once delivered to the saints. It was 100 years they lasted, and about the time of the Civil War is when those meetings ceased. And within 5 years, Dr. Hyatt writes, all three of those churches had fallen away. And yeah. The lesson is clear. In times of intense spiritual conflict, simple, unified, corporate prayer can make the difference. In order to pray effectively, we must be in unity. We must have a symphony of prayer where we gather and we target our prayers. Our prayers make a difference. Our prayers make a difference. When we come together in one mind and in one accord with one heart praying for our nation, our prayers make a difference. God has given us a window, ladies and gentlemen. We must pray while it is day, because the night cometh. God has turned our nation around before. It was dark and bleak then. It was just as dark and bleak then as it is today. People's hearts haven't changed. But God did it before, and God can do it again. Nothing is impossible with our God. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our nation. You can sit, stand, whatever you want to do. Let's pray for our nation. Let's lift our voices right now.
Let's stand up.
Let's pray for our nation.
Father, we thank you. It's not by might and it's not by power. Hallelujah. But it is by the Holy Ghost. It is by the Spirit of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for the Spirit of prayer. Hallelujah. God, I thank you. You have awakened your church. Hallelujah. The body of Christ. You have awakened the body of Christ at such a time as this to arise and to pray like we never have before. Thank you for this awakening, Father. Thank you, God, for this, the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ, standing up, hallelujah, and praying for our land, praying and asking for souls, God. Father, we just thank you, God, for a mighty outpouring of your Spirit, hallelujah, upon our nation, God. God, you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. It was the same Holy Ghost, hallelujah, in the first great awakening and in the second great awakening, hallelujah, and in the prayer revival. It's the same Holy Ghost today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The same Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Who wants revival more than we want revival. That wants another great awakening more than we want it in the name of Jesus. The question is, like they were willing, are we willing to pay the price? Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, God. Hallelujah. That you're moving. Hallelujah. Yes. God, I thank you. We hear the sound. Hallelujah. Yes. We hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Hallelujah. God, just like they were, there was 120 in an upper room, just like there is in here. Hallelujah, God. And they were in one accord. They were in unity. They were in agreement. Hallelujah. And then suddenly, there was a rushing, mighty wind of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That turned the world upside down. Hallelujah. And God's doing it again. He's blowing. Hallelujah. He's blowing the wind of His Spirit across this land again. Hallelujah. Because there is a harvest in this land. Hallelujah. There is a harvest to be had in this land. And He's going to use you. Hallelujah. To bring that harvest in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, God, for the stirring of the Spirit of God in every believer's heart to pray like they've never prayed before, to believe you like they never have before, God. Hallelujah. To save our nation in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We claim every soul in our nation for the kingdom of God. Every soul, not one will be lost. Not one will be lost in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. You have positioned your church for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Some you're sending. Some are going. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Some people, some of you are already on a mission from God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. For all of your church in the right place at the right time. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for the anointing of Almighty God. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. You have raised up your church. Hallelujah. To be the light to the world in a dark world. Hallelujah. Arise, shine, church. Arise and shine, church. For the light has come, and the glory of the Lord shall be risen upon you. Hallelujah. Yes. Father, we thank you, God. And you said that the abundance of the sea will be converted unto thee. That's souls. That's the harvest. There's an abundance, of a harvest coming to this nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shikahaya. Oh, Sahaya, 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 Sahaya. Oh, God, we cry out for souls. We cry out, God, for an outpouring of your Spirit. Holy Ghost, you are welcome in our nation. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah. There was a call upon John the Baptist. He said, prepare my people for this coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that's the same call upon the church today. Hallelujah. Prepare, hallelujah, my people for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Make ready a people for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. We're looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for the spirit of revival. Thank you, God, for the moving of your Spirit, God. Hallelujah. Oh, like a rushing mighty wind. Come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, quickly. Lord Jesus. Come, thy north wind. Blow, thy south wind. Blow upon our nation, God. One more time, God. Do it one more time,
yes,
God.
Lord.
Hallelujah. To
shake
the nations,
Lord,
of the world. Hallelujah.
Well, give him praise. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise one more time, Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's what it's going to take. A people that will pray. A people that will pray. He said, if my people, God said if his people would pray, that he would hear, that he would heal, that he would forgive. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take unified prayer. It's going to take targeted prayer. Hallelujah. There's a way when you pray. And we will see more when we pray more. God is not through with our nation. We can make a difference through our prayers. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Ladies and gentlemen, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. The God that answers by fire. Thank you, Lord. Oh, the God that answers by fire. Oh, Holy Ghost and fire. Holy Ghost and fire. Holy Ghost and fire. Thank you, Lord. You've done it before, God. Do it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He hears and answers prayer. I said he hears and answers prayer. Hallelujah. He's a prayer answering God. He's a prayer answering God. Well, I want to encourage you to keep praying. Keep praying this week. Looking forward to Sunday. Amen. Right now, Pastor Bob Nichols is scheduled to minister Sunday morning. It's going to be awesome. Amen. Please continue to pray for him. Pray for our nation. I want to encourage you. I know a lot of people can't because of the time. But I want to encourage you to come out to our corporate prayer meetings. Monday and Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., 6 to 7. And I know it's not possible for some schedules, but if it's at all possible, I want to encourage you to come out because you can make a difference. And together, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. I mean, it's just exponential what we can do in the spirit realm. Amen. So I want to encourage you to come out. Corporate prayer, Monday night at 6. In the sanctuary, Wednesday night at 6, right here in this chapel. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for every person that came out tonight in the name of Jesus. I speak the blessings of Almighty God. The blessings of God maketh rich and add no sorrow to it. I speak the blessings of God, spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially. They are yours. They are yours now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. We thank you for your promises. We receive them right now when we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, one more time, give Jesus a big hand clap of praise. Amen. God bless you. You've been a wonderful audience. Go with God. Drive safe is our prayer.